town of Cheesebridge. When all good citizens are safe inside, beastly creatures roam the night.
Hawkstrolls are monsters.
At least, that's what everyone's been told. Welcome to the magical world of the Box Trolls, where one lucky boy lives happily with his unusual family. They transform treasures into incredible inventions. Careful never to be seen.
Who's there?
By human eyes.
I want every Box Troll gone.
And let's see you fit in your box.
Please help us.
You need to look like a proper boy.
Am I careful?
Yes. No.
Talking about them Box Trolls. Phenomenal One's most anticipated film of the year. At least one of my most anticipated films of the year. Fighting off a little sniffle here, but that ain't gonna stop me from doing no Box Trolls review here, people. This comes from one of my favorite animated studios that does this, Laika. Directed by Graham Annabelle, Anthony Stachy. Pretty much two first in coming. I mean, they've been around the block in the animation and art department, but this is probably their biggest directorial debut, if you will. But the Box Trolls is centered around... Get a simple plot synopsis there. Box Trolls is centered around a young boy... who was kidnapped by the Box Trolls. At least we expect to believe that. But then we later find out that pretty much his father gave him to the Box Trolls because a man voiced by Ben Kingsley called Archibald Snatcher. That motherfucker has a villain name already and shit. He pretty much, I hate to spoil things pretty soon, but he pretty much kills his father and pretty much his father sends him off to the Box Trolls to take care of him as a baby. We start to see at night that, Archibald comes on, tells pretty much, I guess they're like the mayors of these towns, you know, these four white-suited, white-hat-wearing motherfuckers or whatever. And the town is called Cheese Town, if I'm not mistaken. Cheese, something like that. With cheese in it, because all these guys do is eat, sit around and they eat on the delicious, fine sets of cheese, like all good white men do. And then he pretty much says, hey, who was that voiced by the way? Lord Parley. We got Jared Harris who voiced that, and he pretty much tells Jared Harris's character, hey, Box Trolls kidnapped the Lundberg baby, you know, they stole him, they killed his father or whatever, so allow me to hunt down each and every one of these fucking Box Trolls. But there's a catch. If I do this for you, you have to give me a white hat and let me sit on the table with you guys and delete on the delicious fine sets of cheeses that I never explored before. Pretty much getting here, we see the Box Trolls taking care of the kid as he gets older and older and stuff. Then we realize the Box Trolls are getting snatched away one by one until the kid who was voiced by fuck, what was his name? I already forgot it now already. Eggs, it was Isaac Hempstead, right? Who plays Eggs in the character. Ellie Fanning plays Winnie. We later find out that Ellie Fanning, she's the daughter of Jared Harris. And she spots him out. Next thing you know it, Eggs, once he finds out all the Box Trolls are being taken in, you know, he set to free them, especially the one who's playing pretty much his father figure in the movie. His name in the movie was Fish, and Dee Bradley Baker, who was the one that voiced him, but he also plays Wheels and Bucket as well. But the thing is, none of the Box Trolls really talk. It's about a lot of gibberish, if you will. Only Eggs can understand them. So we get to a part where Eggs run into Winnie, Ellie Fanning's character. And next thing you know, she's like curious. I want to know about these Box Trolls. Why are you with them? What's going on here? So he frees them. Next thing you know it, he tries to tell Jared Harris' character, hey, I'm the baby that's been missing. Box Trolls aren't evil. But Jared Harris is like, You fucked up my party and destroyed the giant's cheese I ever seen. That my boys are gonna go have to fish out the ocean. And they's kind of like, what the fuck? Why we gotta go fish out the ocean? Get out of here or whatever. And then, you know, that's pretty much the plot synopsis. You know, pretty much good stopping evil here. Most anticipated film of the year, yes. Live up to what I wanted? Not so much. I thought it was a good movie. But I would have to say this is Leica's weakest film. If you don't know Leica people, they've done Coraline and Paranorman, which is two of my favorite animated movies of probably all time, to be honest. And the reason why is because of that is because they always, some people will say they have political or they're trying to make a message or something like that. I always thought it's just because they threw an adult humor in here. And the humor in here is, I don't think, feel like it's never dumbed down for kids. Until we got to this movie, I thought the box trolls itself were made for pretty much gimmicks of selling toys, if you will, if you see them. I mean, neither one of them, they all have their own personality and they both portray on scene. But about the first 15 minutes of it, I would say it wasn't as a strong point as I feel Leica can deliver. And that's not to say it was bad, it was just because my intentions were still going, where is this going? Because this is based off a book that I had no idea about in the first place. So my intentions still was going like, what is this movie about? I knew nothing about it, and where is this going? So one thing I did appreciate of the film, other than the opening, which is Archibald talking to Jared Harris's character, there's no dialogue for like at least 20 minutes until Isaac Hempstead character grows up and he starts to speak, and that takes about 20-22 minutes. I was trying to time it at the most or whatever, but you got also voice actors in here like Richard Ayoade, who was in The Watch with Ben Stiller, Nick Frost, Steve Blum, Pat Fraley, like I said, Ellie Fanning, and you know wherever Nick Frost goes, Simon Pegg is just around the corner, like I said, Jared Harris and Ben Kingsley as well. A talented cast right here. Oh, who could forget Tracy Morgan, who played Mr. Gristle, who doesn't have really a goddamn thing to say in the movie. So, I guess my favorite parts over here was stop motion animation. I love stop motion animation. Like, why Leica is one of my favorite studios. I think stop motion is an unappreciated art form of movies that we have today and really is dying out. I think Leica is really the only thing that's keeping it alive. One thing the movie did take me back to was, I don't feel like it was up to date with Coraline or Paranorman, but I felt like it took you back to those old Wallace and Gromit cartoons and stuff like that. I was getting a lot of those vibes watching the film. One thing I can highly recommend that I love about the film is the stop motion, the animation work in here looks fucking gorgeous. I mean, it is just beautiful. The designs of Leica really does put a lot of time and effort into the art design of their films, and that's one thing I really appreciate. I love always at the end of the movies is this is one studio where the credit scenes are probably some of the best scenes I've ever seen. You know, it's funny because we had a fan that brought up a question that the original Ocean's 11 back in 1970 was his favorite. Well, he felt like that film made history because of what it does after the credits, which influenced a lot of movies today, were mainly Marvel is still. But I think that one thing that you can say influenced is even in these scenes of, these credit scenes of Leica's films, they always put in that little work of how they made the animation and stuff. And it's just amazing how they do it. And I love how they had Nick Frost and I think it was Simon Pegg. I can't remember now. But it was pretty much the two goons who was. And I love how they had those two characters just talking, saying, like, we wonder if everything is going on. Like, what if I do this? Who created that and who made this? And meanwhile, you see the artists in the background drawing up and setting up the designs and the set pieces and stuff. And it really was just gorgeous to look at. I was really appreciating that the most. I said the first 15 minutes kind of had me going, like, where's this going? It's kind of slow a little bit. It's getting into it. I would say after about 25 minutes, when it picked up, it really picked up. And that was mainly when Fish met Winnie's character. There was some humor interaction going on, and I thought that was one of the best parts of the film as well. I thought it really picked up when that set up, and I was really invested in the film and what happened. And then you know, Leica always does this thing where they go like, we got a setup at the beginning. We got of all this stuff that's going on. We got the middle part that like keeps you interested, but you know, is it worth staying around for? And then it is like that little part before it gets to that third act, that little ending start of the second part where they throw in that either it's a mystery or how to solve a problem or it just pretty much seems hopeless for all characters. They throw in this scene where they were pretty much talking about, well, you see this man under the building, a machine with the box trolls that's pretty much lost his mind. We later find out that it was his father. But before that, we saw a scene of Fish pretty much telling Eggs how he came a hold of him, to be honest. Fish is one of the box trolls people, played, voiced by Dee Bradley Baker once again. And he was telling them pretty much, hey, we met this really nice man, and he loved us. We was helping him invent stuff. Next thing you know it, these Archibald, played by Bings Kingsley and his group, came and pretty much terrorized. And they showed this scene where Archibald cracks him upside the head with a goddamn wrench. And I was like, god damn, shit, what is he, what is that motherfucker? I forgot his name now. The Crimson Bolt. Yeah, he was the Crimson Bolt from Super, James Gunn's film. Because he was just clucking him upside down. I was like, yeah, he said his dad lost his mind by hanging upside down and the blood going to his head. No, I think he lost his goddamn mind because you hit him upside the head with a fucking wrench 3 times. So that was pretty gruesome to find out first. I was like, damn, did they just show him killing his father in a kid's movie? There's little touches like that that I always appreciate of Leica that they just throw in and show the visuals of it and stuff. We later find out his father's still alive, so I guess it really didn't have an effect, but I guess it did have an effect because it made him kind of retarded in a way. Still had a little bit of his sense left, but another thing I always love about Leica's films, it's always the ending, man. The endings are always great in the Leica's film. I always feel like I get some meaning out of it, the message here. And, you know, pretty much here, they were pretty much about to kill this kid because he held him up the box trolls and give him this speech of him handing over the hat. But then, you know, you pretty much get a message here that, you know, box trolls are hiders, they're not fighters. And what Eggs tries to do is motivate the box trolls, and his father leads him on that you can motivate box trolls because there's something that needs to be fixed, and what they love to do is fix things. And I felt like the message was, you know, you always got to come out of your shell to be something you're not to... But it's not so much of changing who you are. It's just adapting to what you have to learn. And I really appreciated that that message I got out of the story that was coming on here, too. And I thought the voice actors did a really good job of portraying that. I mean, that once again, the animation itself holds up of being beautiful and showing that emotion that you want to get out of animation films. So that's all what I loved. What I didn't really like, other than... Most Leica films, I always feel like the ending's a little bit better. I thought this one was probably the weakest. Well, like I said, I thought this was the weakest film out of the three that they did, which was Coraline, Paranorman, and Box Trolls. And I don't know if that's necessarily based because this one is based off a book. I haven't read the book, so I don't know if they were following T for T. And I'm sure Leica threw in their own little twist to it because clearly they love fucking with things. But I think the problem with most book movies today is they have to follow it to a certain T, which sometimes the books necessarily really ain't that good, but I could be mistaken because, once again, I never read the book, so... Character-wise, Ben Kingsley, man, he played a great villain. I gotta say, man, he had this obsession with eating the finest cheese and stuff like that and winning his hat over, which I thought was funny as fuck because I'm like, damn, he's trying to kill kids and goblins and trolls and stuff like that for a fucking hat. I mean, that's got to be goddamn ridiculous. But they add so much depth to that character that I thought he was a menacing enough villain. And the thing was, they had a funny thing with him whenever he would eat cheese. He would pretty much, like... swell up and shit like that. Like he had a rash from it or something like that. I thought most of the jokes at the beginning, which they were trying to do deliberately, didn't work as much. And then as the movie went along, I noticed that the visual gags were just as much better. Kind of like in Paranorman, to be honest. The jokes in there worked for me, but I know a lot of people that they didn't. But then I noticed as the movie picked up, the visual gags were that much more exciting. I think that's something Leica does best is the visual stuff. And I think it once again delivered here. The funny ending is where he pretty much swells up from after falling into that big, ginormous, giant set of cheese. and he kidnaps Ellie here, Ellie Fanning's character, Winnie, and he's holding her as he's swelling up, and he's like, get the finest cheese out there. And there's like, hey, look, man, you don't have to do this. You know what's going to happen to you if you eat the cheese. And he's just looking at you like, I don't give a fuck about what happens to me. I'm going to eat this goddamn cheese whether you like it or not. And next you know, he blows up, which I was like, goddamn, did they just... Laker, man, you... I love that non-subtlety about you killing people in your films and stuff like that. I thought was that scene alone where they were having an exchange of dialogues of what to not do and what to do. It took me back to a scene in Paranorman where he was talking into the witch when she was turning this lightning and she was shocking him and stuff like that, but yet he still kept going on. I think they do some of that the best in their endings, and I really appreciate that about Laika. The thing about this movie, though, which I gotta say is probably my biggest negative to Coraline and Paranorman, is if I had to put a comparison in three, I wouldn't mind seeing it again, but I have no intentions of rushing out to see it or buying it. Which, when Paranorman Coraline came out, I was like, I have to own this. I gotta get this special edition version and stuff like that. But with this one, I think I could wait a little longer and see. I mean, who knows? Maybe going back to it, I probably could have admired it a little bit more. I don't know if this movie's going to do well, to be honest. I know I saw a couple of people, but I saw a screener of it on Tuesday. And, it wasn't that crowded. It wasn't a lot of critics in there, so I'm a little shocked by that. I don't know. Maybe they were at another theater or something, but it was the only one I knew of at the screener at the time. So, it was kind of hurting me to see that. But, I saw a lot of people coming in, when this movie came out, I saw a lot of people coming out going, saying, hey, let me go one for the box show. So, I think it is something to take your kids to. I think you're not an adult, so you can't read between the lines and the hearing the messages and stuff like that. I don't think it'll annoy kids. So I think this is probably, if anything, out of Laika's, is the most kid-friendly film, even though all the shit that I just said. But it's just little subtleties like that that you notice about Laika that they do, and you can appreciate if you follow the studio and are a fan of stop-motion animation. So, to give my final thoughts, great animation, great stop-motion, voice acting was great, characters in here. Characters was great in here too. I gotta say, my only problem was I was expecting more from the box trolls itself. Wasn't expecting this whole which I appreciated the non-talking kind of like I wish I could think of anime. Oh, kind of like those things in the Lorax, if you will, the little gophers and shit like that or whatever that just didn't talk and were just being cute. I mean, if anything, the box trolls are better than that, so I guess that is kind of an insult because the box trolls actually do have a meaning to them, especially towards the end of the film, and they kind of deliver a message that is motivational to kids and stuff like that. So I think it is worth seeing, checking out. I'm gonna give it, and this is the lowest rating I've ever given a Laika film, but it's not even that low at all. And I'm gonna give it a low stream it. No, not a low stream. I'm going to give it a low see it. God damn it. Shit, come on now. Stream it? No. Low see it. It is the weakest of the three, I believe, in my opinion, but I still think it is worth checking out. And just because, one of the main reasons, because this is a dying breed of animation. So people, check out the Box Trolls. Please check out the fucking Box Trolls. No, check out Paranorman while you at it, too. Check out Coraline. Check them all out, whatever. Keep delivering what you do, Laika. Oh, and one other thing. I mean, I fucking hate cheese. I don't even know why the fuck that was so important to Ben Kingsley. But then again, it all makes sense. Because, isn't he knighted or some shit like that? Sir Ben Kingsley. So, you know, he has to eat the finest cheese, fuck the finest hookers, and drink the finest wine of them all. Oh, and play a character that was supposed to be the Mandarin, but really wasn't.
To meet you. No! one do that before?
The Box Trolls.
Off with Box.